Hello, everyone. It's Tom Candela, and welcome to another episode of Curtain Call, where I spotlight the magic of theater one conversation at a time. And on tonight's show, we're going to be stepping into a world where imagination has the power to change everything. River Rep Theater is bringing back its acclaimed production of The Neverending Story, and tonight I'll be speaking with two of the young performers helping bring that magical world to life on stage. We'll explore what it's like to discover theater at a young age, the confidence and creativity that comes from performing, and the growing impact of River Rep Jr. on the next generation of artists in our community. I'll also be joined by Arthur Alesi as we discuss River Rep's ambitious upcoming season and the importance of creating opportunities for young performers to grow, learn, and shine on stage. So curtain up, lights down, and let the magic begin, because the show starts right now. River Rep Theater is bringing back its acclaimed production of The Neverending Story, based on the beloved novel by Michael Ende. It's a magical coming-of-age tale about a young boy who discovers that the power of imagination can shape and even save the entire world. But what makes this production especially meaningful is who's helping to tell the story. At the center of it are two young performers, artists who are not just learning the craft, but living it in real time. Today, we'll be talking to two of those performers, Waverly and Cooper, about their journey into acting, their work with River Rep Jr., and what it means to step into a story like this. And of course, we'll also be joined by Arthur Alesi, who will share some insight into River Rep's upcoming season and last night's gala, which I was happy to attend, at the Delaware Valley Opera Center. So, Waverly, Cooper, Arthur, welcome to Curtain Call.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
My pleasure. So let's start with, Waverly, I'm going to start with you. What first got you interested in acting? What was the seed that kind of got you going?
I've always been a very dramatic person. I've loved to, like, tell a story. Chris, the director of the show.
Christopher Pedito.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He had a drama class at my school, and I took it, and that really got me into acting.
So that was, like, the seed that got you interested.
Yeah. I had been interested, but it really, like, but being in his class really helped.
Okay. And is that when you found out about River Rep Jr.?
No. I found out from River Rep Jr. at last year's gala.
Okay. So was that before you actually performed in The Neverending Story last year?
Yes.
It was. Okay. So one thing kind of led to the other sort of thing. All right. Well, how have you found it so far? I know you did really well last year. In fact, I mean, you started out with a smaller role and then you suddenly had to jump into a bigger role, if I remember correctly, right? Mm-hmm. Right, Arthur?
That's right.
Yeah. So what was that like when you found that out that We need you to jump in here, Waverly.
Yeah. It was the day of the performance, and it was like 8 a.m., and Chris called and was like, Waverly, we need you to be another role tonight. Come early to rehearsal. We will get you all set up, but you need to learn lines.
What were you thinking in that moment when you heard him say that?
I was thinking, what? Like, excuse me.
Cooper, you're playing Bastien, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge role.
Yeah.
This is the centerpiece role. How did you come to that?
So last year I was the same roles as Waverly. I was just a purple buffalo and a spiderling child.
Mm-hmm.
And during our rehearsals, we learned that our Atreyu was moving away next year. And Chris, the director, he loved the show so much and he was already talking back all the way last year about wanting to do it again.
Yeah.
So it was really a long time ago that the idea of me playing Bastien came up. It was during rehearsals. So I guess I've just been ready this entire time.
Wow.
That's very exciting.
It is very exciting. Now, is this the first time that you were on stage, or have you performed before?
I've been acting since I was like 5 in my school.
Oh.
We did drama classes
with
the really young youngins, and we would put on these tiny little plays. But I started taking it seriously in around middle school. In middle school, I played Oren in Little Shop of Horrors, and that's
when
it sprouted, and I wanted to take it seriously.
Wow, that's pretty exciting. Yeah. They did Little Shop of Horrors in middle school.
I love Little Shop.
You knew from a very young age that you liked this,
yeah.
Right? So that's pretty exciting. What do you love about it?
What I love about acting is I get to be able to tell a story to people, and I get them to feel emotions through me just speaking on stage. If someone laughs in the audience, it always feels so great. I love comedy because I love making people laugh. Even when I'm not acting, I try to make people laugh.
Okay. Are you like the class clown?
I mean, maybe.
Or the class actor.
But it's just making people feel things from a piece of, like, entertainment.
Wow.
I think is very special.
That is very special, and it's a very special comment that you made, because that's what a lot of actors work very hard and train to achieve, to get to an emotion where they can express that, where people feel it. And would you agree there, Arthur?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So are you in River Rep as well? River Rep Junior, rather?
No, sadly, I live too far away to be part of the workshops.
It must be difficult now because this role is large.
I mean,
you're on stage almost all the time.
Yeah. The good thing about it is that since we've already done it last year, the show is basically ready. It's just relearning new roles and whatnot. So we don't have to rehearse as much, but it's always very fun to come down here for rehearsals, and it's well worth the drive. So.
It's amazing that you say all that, because you're stepping into a huge role, a lot more lines to learn. And we're going to talk a little bit about that shortly. Waverly, you're playing the childlike empress. What is different this year going into the show than last year?
I feel like I'm more ready. I'm not as scared for opening night as I was. I definitely was not ready for opening night when it came.
So how do you prepare for that? How do you get over those butterflies?
I take deep breaths and I review my lines.
Something I like to try to tell the kids is to turn those nervous butterflies. Don't kill the butterflies. Just have them transform into excited butterflies as opposed to nervous butterflies. It's the same physiological feeling.
Yeah.
It's just how you think about it, really.
Yeah. It's being able to use that energy.
Right.
Positively. Does that hit home with you, Waverly, when he tells you that?
Yeah.
All right. So you prepare for the performance by going over your lines and getting ready for that. Do you run them at home with mom or some of your siblings, maybe?
I run them at home with my mom, and then I'll run them like 5 minutes before I go on, like in my head.
Okay. Is there a group warm-up?
No.
No, they don't do that over at the River Up?
We for certain shows we have.
Okay.
It's hard to wrangle the 12-plus people we had in Never Ending, and especially given the different preparations that each character needs. There are some people who are backstage checking 5 different costumes and 20 different props in this particular show. We can't have everybody there 3 hours early.
And costuming and makeup. I mean,
a lot of makeup.
Right? Wow. So for someone who's never been involved in, let's talk a little bit about River Rep Junior, because I think that's an important part of this whole company. You've been involved now, Waverly. You did 2 semesters of it?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first semester you just did this past fall, and now you're currently in the class, or are they finished?
They just finished.
For somebody who has never, let's say you were talking to Cooper and he was like interested, and he lived closer, and he was interested in coming into River Rep Junior, what would you tell them about River Rep Junior?
River Rep Junior is a fun acting workshop for kids where we learn about warm-ups and techniques, and we put on a play.
At the end?
Yeah.
Okay. So what are some of those techniques that you are learning that really hit home for you?
We learn techniques for projecting our voice and for blocking.
Okay.
Which is like standing out towards the audience at almost all times.
Okay. And was there a time when you were doing these exercises where you were wondering why you were doing them?
At the very beginning, yes. But when I did them more, I realized that they were necessary if we wanted to be good actors.
Okay.
So after that, I rolled with it.
Good. Cooper, what do you do as far as warming up and getting your instrument, which your body is as an actor, ready for performance?
When I was younger, I didn't do much, but I was in this show that was, it was a summer stock and they needed a child to be an actor. And they would always do group warm-ups and I learned so much from that. So before every show, I always stretch and then I do my vocal voice warm-ups, my tongue twisters and whatnot. And that's mainly it. And then I also review my lines, of course, but I do them usually an hour before the show, before I even have to arrive. I always eat. Eating's very important for me. Shows. Yeah, it's really just getting into my character. Besides, like, physical warm-ups, then the rest of it is getting into my character. And
oh, interesting. How do you prepare for that? Because that's an important aspect.
So I won't run through my lines, but when I'm backstage, like, right before the show starts, I'll run through my scenes and, like, what my body would be doing and how I would be feeling through those scenes.
So as far as the lines, because you have so many of them, you're on stage almost the entire time. In fact, I saw you last night, right? You had a scene last night, which went really well. You played a scene with Arthur, you played a scene with the boys. How do you memorize that many lines?
I actually don't know.
Oh, really?
I mean, I work on them really hard, of course, and I run them a lot. But I guess the main thing I do is I try and run them off book before I even think I have them memorized. Because it actually tends that it's, you have them memorized before you really think you have them memorized. So, like, if I'm running lines with my friend or my dad, I'll run them once and I'll be like, there's no way I have this memorized. And I'll just try off book. And then if it turns out you actually have them.
Sort of comes to you.
Yeah, it sort of comes to you.
Yeah. Sort of a lot of times, if you know what the scene is about, you know, you know where you're supposed to be and what's supposed to be happening within the scene, they sort of do come natural to you once you've had that base, that foundation that you're talking about.
Yeah. So with Bastion, it's most of his lines besides the first and the, like, last part of the show are just in monologues that are just split up in chunks. And so what I've been doing is I've instead of memorizing the exact lines, which of course I've been working on, but it's just, it's pretty hard. I put what the scene before it is, what the scene after it is, and like what the emotion he's feeling. And then that leads me to the lines that I have sort of memorized.
That's great. That's great. Fantastic. What about you? How do you memorize your lines?
I don't try to do it all at once because that just fills my brain up and it doesn't actually sink in. I do it in chunks. I'll do like the first half of my scene. I'll take a 30-minute break. I'll come back and do the second half. And then I pretty much have it memorized.
Okay. All right. So that's a different technique that you use for doing that. When you were working at River Rep Junior, was that part of the lesson plans too, as of how to prepare for a role and how to learn your lines?
She's looking
at Arthur.
We talked about character, about how a character would walk, move differently than you would move yourself, vocal differences, things like that. We didn't really go over techniques of memorization so much. But a big part of it is just being in the moment. And I think a lot of memorization can come if you are really open to being in the moment and hearing what's coming to you. In a well-written play, your response is going to be pretty natural.
Certainly, the childlike empress is very otherworldly. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing you on stage and you had this beautiful smile while you were performing that really lit up the stage. What are you thinking when you're there in the moment and on performing in front of an audience full of people?
I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, this is actually happening. Don't forget your lines.
Yeah, it's scary if you do. And it does happen, but you got other professionals on the stage that would help you through that. And that's one of the things when you create an ensemble, being part of an ensemble that you learn to work with and you kind of know how to feed off people. What can you tell me about the ensemble Waverly in the Neverending Story?
The ensemble is really amazing. All the people on mm-hmm. it are really supportive. They help me a lot. They're all like really good actors, and so I like to learn from them, see how they do things, and then take it in my own way.
Sure, sure. That's a good way to approach it, is to really lean into be a sponge, I always say. There's a lot of talent on that stage with you, someone like Arthur, and some of the people we saw last night, that girl Elizabeth that you did the scene with last night, fantastic.
Elizabeth Williams.
Yeah, she was incredible, I thought. And then, of course, you have Alexi McEntee and so many others that were on stage last night and are part of the ensemble at River Rep that are fantastic actors and performers. If you could pick one thing out, Waverly, that you've learned from them, what would that one thing be, that one strong thing that really stands out for you?
Don't be afraid of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
They're just people. If you make a mistake, they're not going to come at you with like pitchforks.
No, that'll never happen.
Yeah. But it's okay to mess up. It's not the end of the world. Like,
Yeah, you're right. It's absolutely. What about you, Cooper? If you could pick out one thing that you learned from, well, this year now, because now you're fully into rehearsals for the Neverending Story. What's something that really stands out for you with working at River Rep?
Yeah, so the director, Chris, since I'm only monologue, so I don't have that many rehearsals with other cast members.
Okay.
It's me and him work very close together, and I work with Arthur close together as well. And so he coaches me on my monologues, and the main thing I've learned from him is that you should always be surprised at what you're saying. Like, you shouldn't expect what your next line is going to be. You shouldn't expect what their next line is going to be. You should always be surprised. Always be in the moment.
Wow.
Even though you have all your lines memorized, single scene, you shouldn't think you do. You
That's
should
right.
be like, I have no clue what's coming next, and I'm going to react as if I have no clue what's coming next.
That's right. And what is key in that, do you know, in reaching that objective? Listening. Listening.
Listening.
Yeah, listening to your fellow actor, because, yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
And that's something that even adults need to be reminded.
Yeah,
I was rehearsing one of the scenes that we did in the gala. I was directing one of the pieces, and I had to remind two seasoned professionals, okay, you know it, now forget it.
Right. Right, yeah.
So that it's all fresh and new, like it's happening for the first time.
Yeah, and that's to Cooper's point, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's what he's talking about. Yeah. It's like, we're not asking you to forget your lines. But we're asking you to forget that you're doing a play and to listen to your fellow actor and sort of respond as naturally as possible. Because one day, Arthur could be, you do the scene with Arthur as the old man, right? The old man scene there, that beginning scene. Arthur could be playing it that day for whatever reason, really angry and sort of shouting at you. Or the next day he can be kind of more mellow about it and sort of just laid back. And so you, as the performer, feeding off Arthur, are going to respond a little bit differently, I would think, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But I want to talk a little bit more about, I think, River Rep Junior, because this is an important thing, Arthur, for our community and for kids like Cooper and Waverly to learn the craft and to become exposed to folks like yourself. If you were putting out there a promo or you wanted to talk to someone who's sort of listening today and thinking about, gosh, I kind of like to do that, but I'm afraid to do it, what would you say to them?
I think we aspire to have fun, first and foremost. And it's also, it's for anyone, not just for people who want to become actors. The skills that we try to impart are useful well beyond the stage. Listening, as you brought up, basic communication skills, being able to express yourself, using your imagination, collaboration, being in the moment and working with other people to tell a story. Those are all things that we need in day-to-day life.
As human beings, yeah.
And things that we do in day-to-day life. We all tell stories constantly.
And you're absolutely right, Arthur. It's not limited to the stage, Cooper. It's limited to wherever you might be. Listening is very key to being part of human and responding. Well, we're going to take a break at this point. We've been talking with Cooper and Waverly and Arthur Lisi of River Rep Junior and River Rep, and of course, the Never Ending Story. Going to take a quick break, and we will get back to the second half of our conversation right after that break.
Radio Catskill, keeping New York voters connected. New York State's primary election is June 23rd. You may register to vote by mail, at your local board of elections, or any state agency participating in the National Voter Registration Act. Your application must be received no later than June 13th in order to vote in this primary election. In-person early voting runs June 13th through June 21st. Info at elections.ny.gov.
I'm Stephen Dubner on the next Freakonomics Radio, Games, Why They Matter and What They Can Teach Us. We start with an unlikely gaming success.
The idea that the New York Times is actually one of the world's biggest publishers of games is not a sentence that one would have thought to say 20 years ago.
Has the New York Times become a games company? That's next time on Freakonomics Radio. Tuesday afternoon at 2 on Radio Catskill.
Okay, and we are back to the conversation with Waverly Cooper and Arthur, talking about the Never-Ending Story, which is coming up again soon, right, Arthur? What is the show going to be back on stage?
It's June 13th, 14th, yes. 20th, and 21st.
Good job.
And a good job was had by all. Well, good. All right, so back to River Rep. Junior, again, I can't stress how important I think this is for our community, but also for young performers coming up or people that are performers but want maybe skills in communication, skills in public speaking, skills in just cooperating and being around other kids and figuring out how to solve a problem. So some of the things that I saw, Waverly, when I came was some improv. How are you with improv? What do you enjoy that aspect of it?
Yes, I enjoy improv. It's fun. I wouldn't say it's my favorite thing in the world, but I enjoy it.
Okay.
It's fun not knowing what comes next.
Improv is a skill that I think is really important for all actors to have as a foundation because it just helps you with characterization. How are you with it, Cooper?
I wouldn't say I'm the greatest improvisationer. I think it's extremely fun, and I know it's extremely important towards acting. It's such a great skill to have because it doesn't even, even if you're doing improv shows, of course it applies, but like even normal acting, improv is such a great skill to have for not just if someone forgets a line and you need to get back on track, but also for your normal lines because it really teaches you to just react.
I think a lot of the misconception and fear about improv is that it has to be funny because there is a lot of what we see on TV or on stage is comic improv.
Sure.
Second City, Whose Line Is It Anyway? All those things. It's about comic improv, but one of the first Second City people, one of the original Second City people, Alan Arkin, led a workshop that I was lucky enough to participate in. And he treated improv it had nothing to do with being funny. Mm-hmm. That was actually frowned upon. Don't try to be funny. It was really just about listening and being present in the moment and responding. And the whole yes and thing doesn't have to be about the comedy.
Right.
I mean, Greg Triggs is a very funny man. And that's why we wanted him on stage because we know he was going to be funny. But real improv in the classroom setting, it's not about finding the joke. Not for us. Mm-hmm. Our improv is more about being in the moment, taking what's given and responding honestly to it.
Well, good. And tell us then how you feel, Arthur, coming from a director's point of view, how that improves the actor, how that increases their skills.
Very much like what you spoke of. If I'm in a scene with someone and they give me a different line reading, I have to be able to respond to that line reading.
Correct.
Not the line reading I think I'm going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all improvisation in a way. Even though you're using set lines, you're still improvising the how of your reaction.
Yeah.
And again, it's just, it comes back to listening and being in the moment.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. That's a good point. How, Cooper, how do you make it new each time for you? Or for the audience? Because let's say you're doing, four or five total performances, right? But there are actors that are doing shows 8 times a week. And they're doing that sometimes for years. How do you do that as a young actor? What skills are you using to refresh your performance each and every time?
Yeah, so it's not really about changing how you're performing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about what we've already talked about. It's the being in the moment and really feeling like it's new for you as well. Because if it's new for you, it's new for the audience as well.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Absolutely right. Do you feel the same way?
Yes.
Yeah, the same way. So what do you do to prepare for that or create that for the audience?
I pretend that I am in the character's mind and mm-hmm. I am walking through the scene and I'm pretending that it's actually happening and I'm just projecting that emotion out into the audience.
Well, that's very good. So you are embodying that character and showing the audience that this is someone fresh, someone new each and every time that you come on stage. It's a tough skill to learn and to be able to do, because an actor who's not well-trained will show his technique. It's sort of like if you're watching a magic show and you could see how the magician did the trick, it kills it for you, right? The same thing goes with just acting. If you see how the actor did that, if you could see the actor's technique, it pulls you right out of it, right? Would you agree, Arthur?
I agree completely.
Yeah.
I find that more with adult actors. I think kids or younger actors, mm-hmm. let me put it that way, have a better ability to pretend.
Yeah.
Their imaginations haven't been too clouded by the harsh realities of life.
The slings and arrows of outrageous fortune.
Exactly. I find with adults, asking an actor to act less,
mm-hmm.
I find I have to do a lot when I'm directing.
Wow. I mean, you younger people, you have sometimes just a natural ability to be natural. And that's why a lot of actors, older actors, don't like being on stage with a kid because they tend to upstage because they're so good or they're so natural that it shines a light on the older actor who's maybe not so. It's tough. There was kids and animals, right?
Right.
Kids and animals on stage is a good chance that the audience is going to be with them and not you. So very exciting times for both of you. What is the possibility, Arthur, and of this show touring?
Well, it's what we've wanted to do since Riverette began.
Mm-hmm.
Since Chris began it. And we've always talked about being able to move the shows around to different locations in the county and even beyond. And Vanya, Antonia, and Mosh and Spike, we were very much set to take that to a new spot, but for reasons that we know, that we're able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's always in our back pocket. We very much want to be able to bring these shows to wider audiences because we put a lot of work into them. And 4 shows in Lake Huntington
It's like a taste.
We'd love to show the work to more people.
So Waverly, what do you think about the possibility of this show touring, and would you be game for that?
I think it would be amazing if this show went on tour. I would be very excited if I got to be in it.
Yeah.
I would love to just travel and perform.
Sounds great, right? Have you talked to some of your schoolmates about it, and what do they think about you being in the show?
My schoolmates are impressed that I landed a role in a professional show,
mm-hmm.
disbelieving, but very energetic about it.
That's great. What about you, Cooper? I mean, you live far away. How are you going to drag some of your friends in to see this show?
Last year, all of my parents came, and mm-hmm. my sister, I was really lucky. they came. They go to college in Canada. So
oh, okay.
I was very happy that they were able to make it.
So she was home at the time.
Yeah, she was home at the time, which is lucky. And my grandma and my grandfather came.
Oh, what's wonderful. That's wonderful.
But that's all I needed.
Yeah, well, and now you got a bigger role, too. Yeah. So, but do the kids know what you're doing? I mean, I know you said you've been doing this since you were five and you've been in a lot of school productions, but do they know, like Waverly just said, that you're with a professional theater company now, acting on stage with people who have performed all over?
My friends, they know I'm an actor and they know I take it seriously.
Okay. Well, Cooper's also, he's done a couple of shows with the Woodstock Playhouse, and he is actually going to a performing arts high school.
Oh, okay.
Next year.
That's wonderful. So you had to audition for those?
Yeah, I had to audition. I had to choose the major I wanted to go for, but I was pretty set already.
Okay.
And I had to audition. It was a song, a dance, and a monologues.
Oh.
And then it was a couple months before I heard back. But I was really excited that I got into accepted and all the ones I wanted to apply for.
That's amazing. So when you got those letters in the mail, before you open them, what are you thinking?
I was like, I don't get extremely nervous for shows or anything like that. Of course, I get like butterflies.
Yeah.
But this is something I've been wanting to do. My sister went to a boarding high school. She's very talented, like traditional artist. So something I've wanted to do for 3 years now. I've been thinking about it and researching. So it's probably the most nervous I've ever been in my life.
Yeah. You got that envelope with your name on it.
And emails came first.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't even open my email. I didn't want to open my email.
I bet.
The day it would come, I was like, oh, my God.
You kind of want to peek inside it, so have somebody else look at it and look at their face as they're doing it to determine if it's yay or nay. But how exciting, all the places that you auditioned for, that you got into. So you said you're a triple threat guy. You had to sing, dance, and do a monologue. So that's a lot of work. So you said boarding. Are you going away?
Yeah. So the two schools I applied for, one's in Michigan and one's in Boston. So I'd have to live there. They do dorming.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's high school level.
It is high school level.
Oh, that's a big deal. You're into it.
Yeah.
That's both exciting and nerve wracking in and of itself. I would think.
I'm very excited.
Are you?
I'm kind of sad to leave my cat behind, though.
Oh, okay. When does that happen?
August.
Oh, so it's soon.
Yeah, but I still haven't decided, so.
Which school you're going to?
Yeah.
Okay, so are there ones that might be closer?
There's one. The one in Boston's 3 hours, and then the one in Michigan is 13 hours by car.
That's fantastic news. Fantastic news.
Thank you.
What about you, Waverly? What are your aspirations as far as something that you want to continue into your high school years, or this is something that's sort of, let's see how it happens?
I really enjoy acting. If I'm able to do it in high school, I will definitely take that chance.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just want to see how it goes.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair enough. Yep. Yeah, Arthur?
Well, I just want to say, this past year was the first year of River Rep Junior. So in the fall, we focused on fundamentals, real basic fundamentals. This winter spring term was about doing a show. So it was a little different. The focus was different. What we have to talk about, Chris and I, is how we move forward. I mean, because now we have people like Waverly.
Yeah.
Who I want to take to the next level. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to perhaps talk about having a beginning class and an intermediate class or an advanced class.
Sure. Right. Because everybody's at a different level. I mean, yeah.
And because people like Waverly are ready to
move up.
To move up.
Yay. That must feel good, Waverly.
We also, this past winter-spring term, we introduced the technical aspects of theater. We had a couple of students who all they worked on was sets, lights, sound, costumes. It was their job to live in that world.
Sure.
And Chris kind of led them through that. And that was very exciting. And both of them were working at the gala last night. One of them was backstage helping me out. The other was up in the booth helping Chris out.
That's great. That's great. That's an important aspect we should focus on about River Rep Junior is that it's not just for actors, although that is what most people are interested in, but there are out there folks who have no interest in being on the stage themselves, but love the craft or want to be involved in some way, shape, or form. So there's set design, there's set building, there's costuming, mm-hmm. there's hair and makeup. All right, so what is the next iteration of River Rep Junior is when?
It'll be in the fall, okay. fall of 2026. I'm assuming it'll start in late September like we did last year.
Okay.
It'll be another 10-week workshop mm-hmm. and finish up in early to mid-December.
Okay. Okay. So, and if people wanted to learn more about that and sign up for it, how would they do that?
Well, they would go to our website, riverrep.org, send us a message if you're interested. We're not taking signups yet, mm-hmm. but if anyone's interested, let us know and we will keep in touch.
Okay. That's great. So the riverrep.org is the way to do that. It's very clear. You can also learn all about the upcoming season that's happening at River Rep. We're going to talk a little bit about that before we close out today. I did want to ask about, last night we also saw a performance, Waverly, I believe you were on it too, of some Shakespeare, right? I was really, really impressed by that. It was like, wow, young people like yourselves taking on Shakespeare. I'm still afraid of Shakespeare.
Me too. And I'm performing some next weekend.
So, Waverly, what was that like?
It was fun. I had to learn to speak in rhythm.
Yeah. Iambic pentameter, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's not easy. It's not easy doing. Yeah. So how did you do it? I mean, because I've never done Shakespeare on stage. How did you prepare for that?
It was hard. I had to learn a lot of lines.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said before, I did it in chunks, and iambic pentameter was probably the hardest bit for me.
Okay.
This was the Midsummer Night's Dream that we did with the students was an adaptation. So a lot of it was not in the iambic pentameter, although the stuff that Waverly did was, mm-hmm. as well as the stuff that Luna DiTaccio did, was also the fairies were basically we kept in the original iambic pentameter. And it was a challenge, but
did that come out of River Rep? Was it River Rep Junior? Is that what you came out? Was that the play?
That was the play that we did with the kids this winter, spring. Last fall, we did scenes at the end of the at the end of the term, just a presentation for family and friends. As Susan Mendoza from the Parlor in Harrisburg says, a share case. Not a showcase, a share case, which I
love that.
A scene from The Prisoner of Second Avenue by Neil Simon. Edna and Mel, two 50-year-old Manhattanites.
No, last night it was great to see that. I was really surprised because that's tough cookie. I mean, Midsummer Night's Dream is a lot of fun. It's one of the more comedic, fun shows of Shakespeare, but it's still hard work. Krupa, how do you approach it?
When I was, I'm going to tell a story about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
The first time I ever did verse was actually for my audition to art schools because I had to do two monologues and I really, really wanted to do Shakespeare because I know how important it is to learn.
Mm-hmm.
It was, thinking back, it wasn't that smart of a move because I've never done it before and wanted to do it for my audition. So I worked really hard on it and it's much harder, much, much harder than normal.
Yeah.
Lines, but it was really the finding the rhythm to talk in was the hard part for me.
Yeah, and making it make sense. First, it has to make sense to you, and that's my problem. Ellie J, who was on the show last year, she mentioned she did, I forget what part she played in Shakespeare, but she loved it, and she was one of these people who really fell into the verse and really fell into that iambic pentameter and really got it and was able to make the audience get it. Because if you could say it where the audience is understanding it, first you have to understand it. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about we might tour the Never Ending Story. Maybe we'll see. Hopefully that does happen. Unfortunately, Cooper won't be around if that happens. If that, you're going to have to recast it.
The thing about performing arts high schools, and we actually talked about this in the interview, is if you have important gigs, they let you go to do those.
Really?
Online. work. So I talked about it because I was auditioning for things at the time that would happen during my school year. So I was important to talk to them about this. I do a Halloween show every year that I love. So I really want to do it. If it was something important, like a tour of a show I'm in, then they would find a way to let me out.
Wow.
So any high schools or middle schools or collegiate campuses out there that want to bring a show to their facilities, let us know.
Yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, if there is a high school out there that's looking, that wants to bring in the Neverending Story, what a great, great fun show that is. Very exciting and probably will sell tickets, I'm thinking, because a lot of people know of that show. So that's one good thing. Quickly, the upcoming season, Arthur, for River Rep itself, we got a taste of some of that last night and what's coming up. Why don't you tell us what that is and when we can expect to see some of these productions?
Well, our first production of the season is a new play, a world premiere play called Tomorrow Today. Mm-hmm. It's written by Paul Petito, Chris's brother.
Yeah.
And then Paul wrote a bunch of stories about artificial intelligence, about our relationship with artificial intelligence. And then he worked with Chris to fashion it into a kind of an interwoven storyline of the six different storylines woven together about our relationship with AI. And it's a dark comedy. That will kick off the season in May. Then in June
is Neverending Story.
Is the Neverending Story, and then in October we do a classic, Eugene Ionesco's Rhinoceros, one of the great absurdist comedies of the 20th century. So that's it. And then of course we will have River Up Junior in the fall. We're always talking about other things we want to do, touring being one of them. Susan Mendoza at the Pearl and I have been talking about possibly doing a weekly type of thing there. There's so many things we'd love to do. All of those require time and money. And so as we grow, we're able to expand and do more of those things.
But yeah. Well, we got, as I said, a taste of that at the gala last night. And I must say I was very impressed by how many people were there. I mean,
we had a really great turnout.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I walked in and it was a room. The whole place was filled with people and food and everybody having, when we sat down to watch the performances, had a great, great time. So, all right. So that's pretty much your season. That's a lot of good stuff coming our way. Things to look forward to. And yeah, the gala was a big success. I'm glad to see that. And you two are part of it. And that's really something exciting for you to look forward to because you still got, well, you got at least a few months, but you got a couple of years ahead of you here with River Rep in this company. And who knows, maybe you'll be in one of their other main stage productions soon in seasons to come.
Yes.
Anything that I haven't talked about, Arthur, about the company, about upcoming season, River Rep, anything that we might have missed?
I think we covered it all.
Yeah. How about you, Waverly and Cooper? Anything you wanted to add?
No, I think we did it all.
Okay.
I don't think so. Thank you.
You good? Well, I want to thank you for coming today. Thank you for coming in. Thank you, Mom, for Waverly's mom here is in studio as well, for being here and seeing that she gets home and got here and everything. I do appreciate you, Arthur, too, of course. And I look forward to seeing you all again soon in June when the show goes up.
June 13th.
June 13th. Oh, yeah. Good. Give us the dates again, Cooper. Go ahead.
13th is the opening night, and then it's 14th, and then it's the 20th and the 21st.
That's right. That's
it. At the Delaware Valley. Thank you. Thank you, Caitlin. At the Delaware Valley Opera
Center. At the Delaware Valley Opera Center in Lake Huntington.
Beautiful. And where? Here's a trick question. Where do we get tickets?
RiverRep.org.
That is correct.
There you go. All right. Thank you very much, folks.
Thank you, Tom. Pleasure to have you here on Curtain Call.
Thank you.
Well, it was really great having those kids on the show. Arthur, Waverly, Cooper, thank you all so much for being here today. And thank you, Waverly's mom, also. It's been a wonderful hearing not only about the never-ending story, but also about the work being done through River Rep Jr. to encourage young performers to explore creativity, collaboration, and storytelling in such a supportive environment. You know, one of the things that really stands out for me throughout this conversation really is how important it is for theater artists and leaders, folks like Arthur, folks like Christopher Pedito, folks like Tanis Kowalczyk, so many of them out there, who serve not just as directors or teachers, but as mentors and stewards of the art form itself, creating spaces where young people can grow in confidence and discover their voices and experience the power of live theater firsthand. Now, programs like River Rep Jr. don't just train performers, they help build the future of theater itself. And of course, congratulations once again on what was clearly a very successful gala, or is it gala, event over at the Delaware Valley Opera Center. Now, by the time you're listening to this tonight, that event actually occurred a couple of weeks ago. But I just wanted to be clear, we make reference to that a couple of times during the show about last night's performance, and that's what that's about. But the evening was really a lot of fun, and it was exciting hearing about the energy surrounding both that event and River Rep's upcoming season. Arthur Waverly and Cooper, thanks again for joining me, and best wishes to all of you with the never-ending story and the rest of the season, which is just ahead. And now it's time to head back out into the field once again for another episode of The Roving Thespian. That's me. This past Sunday, I had the incredible opportunity to attend the 70th Annual Drama Desk Awards, where I was invited not only to the ceremony itself, but was also invited to walk the red carpet and speak with some of the season's nominees and potential winners. Over the next few episodes of Curtain Call on the Roving Thespian segment, I will be sharing some of those conversations with you. But coming up right now, you're going to hear my red carpet conversation with Christopher Gattelli. Christopher was nominated for Outstanding Director and Outstanding Choreographer of the Smash Broadway hit Schmigadoon. And later on that evening, he did receive the Drama Desk Award for Outstanding Choreography of a Musical. We're also going to hear from Nathan Darrow, who is the nominee for Outstanding Featured Performance in a Play for Unconditional. And then Caroline Aaron, who is nominated also for Outstanding Feature Performance in a Play for the play The Reservoir, which, by the way, folks, and I do mention it in the interview, that is going to be featured coming up at the end of this month at the Shadowland Stages, that play The Reservoir. And then right after that, you'll hear a quick clip from Matt Roden, who is nominated for Outstanding Lead Performance in a Musical for his work in Bo, the Musical. Let's go listen in.
I'm with Radio Catskill. It's an NPR affiliate station in upstate New York. So I understand you served two roles for Schmigadoon, both director and choreographer. Tell us, how do you navigate doing two roles for a show this big?
I mean, I have the best associates in the world, Bethany Pettigrew and Lou Castro, who we all are so in sync and prepped before we go in the room that we just divide and conquer. But it's just a lot of preparation, really.
And talk about the collaboration that it must take between yourself, the cast, your composer, your lyricist, the whole shebang.
Well, this was easily one of the most special of my career. It was great because Cinco Paul did the books, music, and lyrics. I did the direction and choreography. So there was like really like the two of us in the trenches together. So it was like, it was just to be able to be that efficient with each other. And we did the series for two seasons on Apple TV. So we already had a shorthand of like knowing each other's tastes, what we like. So it's kind of like all of that prepped us for this moment for sure. And so it was just, it was a dream collaboration.
It's fantastic. I want to wish you the best of luck tonight for both awards. Who knows? Who knows? Good luck. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, sir.
Nominated?
He's double nominated.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you. You better win one.
He's got to get one. He's got to get one. What's your name, sir?
My name is Nathan Darrow. I'm a featured performance nominee for Unconditional.
Unconditional.
Yeah.
Okay, so is this your first nomination?
Yeah.
Yeah? Exciting?
Yes, of course. Look at this scene.
That's amazing. What was it like when you got that call?
It was so cool. You know, my agent called me, and yeah, I was absolutely was not expecting it. And then he said, he was like, the drama desk are true to their word, because he was like, they see everything. Because, I mean, between you and me and everyone, not many people saw our play. So that was, I mean, they're doing their thing. They're getting out there and seeing everything like they say.
They're
and
getting
it's
out there.
Very, yes, it's super gratifying to be named with all these people.
It's fantastic. So you got that call from the agent. Did you think, oh, it's another job, or did you have any idea?
Well, yes, frankly, that would have been better. But, you know, in lieu of that, exactly, in lieu of that, no, I'm very happy. I was on my way to my therapist, so it was cool.
Maybe you didn't need it that day after that, right?
No. Don't think that way.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me. I appreciate it. Best of luck tonight.
Appreciate you.
Hi, Caroline. Tom Candela, how
Hi,
are
Tom.
You?
Nice to
Give
see you.
Give me your full name.
My name is Caroline Aaron.
And you're in this wonderful piece, The Reservoir. My goodness, what a great show. It's being done in my neck of the woods. Recently spoke with the director of the show, and we had a really, really great conversation about this piece. So tell me how you became involved in it.
Okay, so I played, you know, it's a story of a young man who's recovering from an addiction, and he ends up, his healing takes place by way of his four grandparents. So it's intergenerational. And I play his grandmother, the one he dedicated the play to, who he was closest to, because she was also an alcoholic.
And it's a story of not only of that young man, but his four grandparents, right? Right? And how they affect his life. And they're also dealing with their own challenges.
Right. I mean, my particular character, who is a recovered addict, and therefore I know the journey he's on. And when he's just about to succeed, I start to suffer from Alzheimer's, and he can't reach me anymore. And that's the sad part.
I got to wish you the best of luck tonight. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Nice to meet you.
We're gonna so great right. to see you.
Good to see you. How are you?
I'm great, man.
Good. So, Matt, you're nominated for Outstanding Performance in a Musical.
That's true.
Is this your first time?
It is. It is. It is. I spent a lot of years on the other side of the carpet, so this is a
where I am now?
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
So what was it like first getting that phone call when you learned that you were a nominee for this award?
Yeah, my husband woke me up in the morning. We're in Los Angeles now, so my husband woke me up, shook me, and was like, you got nominated for a drama desk. And I still feel surreal to say. This is our little show that I've been with for 9 years, and for so long it was this like secret, this thing that nobody really knew about. And the fact that anyone knows about the show, even now, feels like just joyful and special, and I feel really grateful to just have been a small part of it.
So when you first got involved in the show, did this start as a workshop, or did you work your way up? You said 9 years, something.
When I met Douglas, the show was not even finished yet. They hadn't written all the songs. It was an incomplete draft. And yeah, we spent all those years doing workshops and readings, and we filmed a movie, and we did out-of-town productions, and then last year he called me around this time and was like, we're going to do this off-Broadway, and I couldn't believe it, but I'm really glad that we got to do it twice last year, and now the fact that we're getting recognized is just so joyful.
Fantastic. What's next for you, Matt?
A drink. I'll take that, right? A nap and a drink. We recorded the album yesterday, so the album will come out, and we'll see. Hopefully there's more life for Bo.
Best of luck tonight. I know there's a lot of nominees, but we really wish you the best of luck. Thank you for taking the time.
And that's just a small taste of what I experienced Sunday over at the Algonquin Hotel in New York City for that red carpet event. And then after that, we merged on over to the Town Hall, big theater in Midtown Manhattan, to watch the awards ceremony. And boy, was it a fun, exciting night filled with great nominees and great excitement, awards and specialty awards, and I was really honored to be there. So it really was a very exciting evening celebrating artists and productions from across Broadway, off-Broadway, and beyond. They even had a special award for off-off-Broadway, believe it or not. And I'm looking forward to sharing more of those conversations with you, my listeners, in the coming weeks right here on the Roving Thespian segment. Now, before I wrap up tonight's program, I want to take a moment to look at what's happening in our local theater community. So let's go to it. River Rep Theater opened this past weekend at the Delaware Valley Opera Center. Now, for those of you who may have missed the opening performances, there's still time to catch this AI-inspired dark comedy based on the writings of Paul Pedido and adapted by Christopher Pedido. Remaining performances are Friday, May the 30th at 8 p.m. and Saturday the 31st at 2 p.m. More information can be found at riverrep.org. And, of course, that's over at the Delaware Valley Opera Center in Lake Huntington, New York. Also, opening the 29th over at the Shadowland Stages, they begin their season with the powerful drama The Reservoir. That runs through the 14th of June, so that's May 29th through the 14th of June. Ticket information can be found at shadowlandstages.org. Also, on Sunday the 31st at 2 p.m., Farm Arts Collective continues its My Bookish Friends series, a literary afternoon. Details on that are available at farmartscollective.org. That's Sunday the 31st at 2 p.m., Farm Arts Collective. Beginning June 5th, the Rosendale Theater, in conjunction with the Phoenicia Playhouse, and they're going to be guests on the show. Actually, this week I'm going to be interviewing them. They are presenting the musical Fun Home. Performances will be at the Rosendale Theater first. That'll run starting June 5th through the 13th. Before the production continues over at the Phoenicia Playhouse in Phoenicia, New York, June the 19th to the end of that run. Ticket information is available at rosendaletheater.org. And when you spell theater, folks, it's T-H-E-A-T-R-E. Then on Saturday, June 6th at 6 p.m., the Delaware Valley Opera celebrates its 40th anniversary gala. Or is it gala? At the Delaware Valley Opera Center. More information is available at DelawareValleyOpera.com. And looking a little further ahead, Forestburg Playhouse opens its 2026 summer season, June 23rd through the 28th, with the comedy mystery Murder for Two. Season and ticket information can be found at fbplayhouse.org. So that's going to be it for tonight's edition of Curtain Call. I want to thank you all for joining me. Thank you for my guests once again. And, of course, thank you for the folks who brought me over to the Drama Desk Awards ceremony. That would be the folks over at Keith Sherman and Associates, including but not limited to Keith Sherman himself, Logan Metzler, Scott Klein, and my good buddy Brett Oberman. It was truly an honor to be invited to that event, and I couldn't have gotten in were it not for them. Be sure to tune in every Monday evening, folks, 7 p.m. for yet another episode of Curtain Call, where I spotlight the magic of theater one conversation at a time. I'm Tom Candela, your host for the show, and this show found only on Radio Catskill. Until next time, good night, folks, and thank you again for listening. We'll see you at the theater.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Tavern on Main, where modern American cuisine meets classic favorites. Dinner, weekend brunch, craft cocktails, and warm hospitality on Main Street in Jeffersonville. More at TavernOnMainNY.com.
This week's Retro Cocktail Hour has songs by Dinah Washington and Bobby Darin and the new exotic sounds of the Martini Kings. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Join me where the music is always shaken, not stirred. The Retro Cocktail Hour. Wednesday night at 7, here on Radio Catskill.
Hey, this is Matt Hurtado. Join me for Virtual Soundscapes, your gateway to the best music in gaming. Classic tracks from the 8-bit era, modern releases, and interviews with the minds behind the games. Wednesday night at 9 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. This is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.